If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah 29. This isn't one of my top 100 scriptures. I got a lot of favorite scriptures. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I'll read this from the NIV translation. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord. This is God talking here. Declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And I tell you, that's good news for people that have been in a church of condemnation, a church of criticism, a church where the standard's so high no one can hit the standard. And where they're taught that God is out to get you. No, God is a good God, and God has a plan for you. He has a good plan, and it's a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. And He has a hope for you, and He has a future. Everybody say, I have a future.
I have a future.
And that future is bright. And I learned this early on in my Christian walk. This August will be 30 years as a believer. Got saved in August of 1982 and was taught this early on that the Lord has a blueprint for each one of us. And with His help, you'll fulfill that blueprint. You know, you have a blueprint for a house and how it's going to be built and all the different parts. Well, He's got a plan and a blueprint for our lives. Look over in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23. Amplified version says, "The steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way, and he busies himself with his every step." I like that. Hadn't seen that before. It says that our steps are directed by the Lord, and the Lord is busying himself with every step we take. Isn't that awesome? He's concerned about every step, every part of our lives. And I like that it's steps and it's not leaps. It's not jumping. It's steps. And so today we're talking about that God's got one plan. He's got a plan for our lives. And that plan is it's a series of steps. It's a process. Sometimes you know a bigger picture. Sometimes you don't. But He's always leading you. He's guiding you. And there's three sources of guidance in our lives. The first one is the Word of God. Let's look at Hebrews 4, verse 12. Going somewhere here today. I've got to lay a little bit of a foundation. Hebrews 4, verse 12, Amplified, says this. "For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the divining line, the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and the joints and the marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." Matthew 4 says that, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The Word of God feeds us spiritually. Jesus' word said that my words are spirit and they are life. It feeds us spiritually. It renews our minds. Romans 12. Proverbs 4 says it brings health and healing to our bodies. So the Word, you know, this is our manual for living. This is our source of life. You know, if Jesus is the Word, then we're receiving Him every time we read it, every time we speak it. And Jesus is wisdom, and the Word is wisdom. The Word of God gives us wisdom, and wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. So it has general principles. Although it is spiritual food, it gives us a general picture of God's will. It gives us principles to live by. But it doesn't tell us specific things. It talks about, you know, offerings and giving offerings, but it doesn't tell you who specifically to give it to. It talks about marriage and the principles of marriage, but it doesn't tell you who to marry. talked about he wants to bless you with job and with a job and that we need to work and provide for our families, but it doesn't tell you where to work or what to do. So the Word of God is it gives you a general guidance in your life. The more specific guidance comes from the Spirit of God. That's the second source of guidance, is the Spirit of God. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, these are the daughters of God." When you know you're a son and daughter of God, you're walking in His principles, you're walking in the inheritance, you're walking in the blessings that you have as a child of God. And to be a son and daughter of God, and to know that, you're to be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is God, and He comes and lives on the inside of you. And He wants to guide you, and He wants to lead you. And He's the one, and again, initially when you're first born again, you're not going to be that skilled about hearing from the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's something that you grow in. That's why we always point people to the Word, especially when they're saved. Go to the Word. Study the Word. But as you grow in, grow in the things of God, you learn to hear His voice. We call this being led by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it may be even words that you hear, but a lot of times it's an impression. And the Scripture talks about things that seem right. It seems right. And so the Spirit of God will give you more specific guidance. And He'll show you who to marry. He'll show you the job to take. He'll show you what church you're to be a part of. He'll show you about the different steps. And it's just so awesome to have the counselor living on the inside of you. The third method or way of guidance, and I think that's one that's not utilized like it needs to be, is other people of faith in your life. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." So it's good to talk to people that are knowledgeable, that are faith people, that have some experience. And I think so many times we don't take advantage of that. And as a pastor, obviously you get concerned about people in your congregation and the decisions that they make. But I've learned this over the years, that if they can't come and talk to me, they don't have to always about decisions they make, but about major decisions, if they can't come talk to me about it and explain it to me, then it's probably not going to be a good decision. Because so many times when you feel funny about a decision and you're wanting to do it, your flesh wants to do it, it's interesting that you don't want to talk to people about it. Now, I'm not the one that, have to prophesy everything. And I'm not the guy, when people come to talk to me, I never tell people what to do. That's not my job, is to be the Holy Spirit in someone's life. But I'm certainly going to give counsel. I'm going to share experiences. I'm going to share stories. And we need that kind of sounding board in our lives. And really, our mates should be a part of that. We should be listening to each other about the decisions. I don't just do things on my own. Susie doesn't do things on her own. Major decisions, things that's going to affect our family. We talk about it. And we may not be in agreement initially, but we'll keep on talking about it until we come to an agreement. A lot of the different teaching that we have out there about the lordship, the headship of the man, I think is really, really gets abused. And it's really a way for the man to be selfish and do what they want to do. But it can be reversed. It can be either way, depending on the situation. But the Bible says to submit to each other. So Susie and I, we've always have talked about things. And I'm not saying we've ever haven't made mistakes. But on the big decisions, we get it right. We talk about it. And there may be some heated conversations. And Susie's very persuasive. I can be persuasive. We both can argue with the best of them. But we do things by agreement because we know the power of agreement. But I think we miss this so many times. It's just sometimes we just want to do something. We just want to do it. But there's safety in the multitude of counsels. There's safety. And again, not just everybody. We don't go talking situations to everybody you meet. I'm talking about people of faith, people that know the Word, people that have proven they're led by the Holy Spirit. I think those are some people you can get some good counsel from. That was worth about $1 million to somebody right there. But there's another thing that I want to mention about God's plan that I really want to spend the rest of the service on. I mean, all three of those are huge. The Word, the Holy Spirit, and counselors. But this next part is something that has really, I think, been a mainstay, I think, in my life. It's been the rock, I guess, of my walk with God. And has been a key for me in doing God's will and doing God's plan. And this is found in Philippians chapter 3. And you ought to read really the whole book of Philippians. You know, it's such a great book. Paul wrote this when he was in prison. He's waiting to die, really. He knows he's going to be executed. And, you know, but really, of all the epistles that he wrote, it's the one with the most joy. He talks about joy and rejoicing all throughout the book. Isn't that amazing? And, you know, so if anybody knows about, you know, suffering and going through hard times, it's Paul. But, you know, these verses I'm about to read, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm concerned about the body of Christ. And I guess primarily the American church. And I don't really know all the reasons, if it's because of our prosperity. I think that's probably got something to do with it. How blessed we are financially. And even those of us, you know, we feel like we don't even have enough. Because of there's so much prosperity in this country. But if you traveled and you've been other places, you'll really realize the things that we take for granted here would be a luxury. I mean, running water, paved roads, air conditioning that works. You know, all these different things. I mean, you go to our grocery store, it's ridiculous. All the items, all the things we can buy, all the things on the internet. And we, you know, financially, and we're not made to feel that way because of marketing. Because the marketers, what do they want you to do? They want you to buy. So they're always trying to create desire. They're always trying to create need. Oh, you've got to have this product. If you have this product, your life's going to be better. You know, the whole thing about the American dream. All the things that we have to have for the American dream. But the problem with that, it's never enough. You know, in Psalms it says, they mingled with the world and they learned their ways, and it became a snare and it became a trap. And I think there's many in the body of Christ that would fit. It seems like we're more interested in being like the world and having the stuff that they have and saying, well, the things that they think are important, that we need to have those things. Mark chapter 4 talks about the power of the Word of God and planting the seed. And then it talks about, you know, tribulation and persecution arising because of the Word's sake. It talks about the lusts of other things and, you know, desires for riches and deceitfulness of riches, all these different things. What does it do? It causes the Word to be unfruitful. And so as I'm reading these in Philippians 3, you know, my desire for you and desire for the, I mean, I can't speak for all of the body of Christ, but my desire for you is that you'd be passionate about God. And this is the fourth thing that about guidance that I think has really helped me, is just having a desire for God. Philippians 3, verse 7. I may need to have someone help me read this here. Philippians 3, verse 7, Message Translation. Lord, strengthen me. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Susie, why don't you come read some of this? Right there.
Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust come that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way. Reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. And all they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which He is putting everything as it should be under and around Him.
Praise God. You know, have that spirit, a desire, the passion to follow God and to serve Him. You know, it just seems to be missing in a lot of people. You know, we've been so educated, so trained in the Word, and we know all these different principles. But when it comes down to, I'm just going to go ahead and cry, all right? Is that okay today? I know you're all hot. But when it comes down to, when you have a passion for God and a desire to serve Him and to do His will, I mean, that keeps you straight. I've been serving Him for 30 years and planning on serving Him another 30 years, unless Jesus comes before then. But what does it say? You know, just some of the things. You know, this one thing I do, what Paul said in the New King James. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are in the past. Our glory days are not in the past. I mean, maybe we've had tragedies. Maybe we've had hard times, whatever. Or glory days. Or not, you know, putting those things behind us. But there's one thing I do. I press towards the mark. I press hard towards the mark of the high calling. And see, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm in this because I'm committed to God. I'm in this because I want to do His will. Follow His word. Be pleasing to Him. And I think so many times when we're making our decisions, we're not thinking about Him. We're thinking about ourselves. And so He's got a plan, but do you want that plan? Do you desire that plan? Do we even care about that plan? And I know there's a lot of reasons. There are distractions. There are things in the world. All these different things. But I tell you, you know, His plan is best. His ways are best. So I just encourage you today. I don't know where you're at. And I mean, we're all at different places. But, you know, I just get concerned as a pastor. I mean, where's that fire? Where's that? Where's the passion? Remember those days when we used to read the Word of God and just couldn't get enough? Remember the days when we used to pray about things and it wasn't just praying about our own needs? Remember those days when we actually went, you know, and I think a lot of times we kind of go out and we don't want to meet anybody. We want to just go home to our little cocoon and I understand that totally, and be with our TV and be in our air-conditioned houses and all those different things. But, you know, God's got a different calling about Good News Church. We just can't be like everybody else. Where we can't conform to the world's ways. I mean, I hope you have the greatest house of, you know, cars and clothes and all that. But, you know, my life's not about that. There's more important things in my life, like the cause of Christ, my marriage, my kids. And one of the most important things that I want to have is, what kind of legacy am I going to leave from my kids? The most important legacy that I want, you know, and I've made mistakes as a father, but my most important legacy I want to leave is for kids that it's okay to follow God, and it's the right thing to follow God and to do His will. That's important. I mean, I was 19 and got saved, and it just rocked my world, and I just don't understand, I guess, all that goes into it. But when I got saved, I mean, I just went after the things of God. Couldn't get enough of the Word, couldn't get enough of church. I wanted so much to be a part of church. I went to the Catholic Church. I was in a charismatic prayer group. Lived in a Lutheran campus ministry house, and it was in part of Campus Crusade for Christ, which is evangelical. And it was just so cool meeting all these different people and meeting people that love God. But there was a whole bunch of people just going through the motions. And I guess I'm just tired of the American church, that what it's come down to is we just have, you know, more good morals. Or maybe we're better than everybody else. But I believe that each one of us was made with an awesome plan, and with a plan really in our part to change the world. I believe that we were made to do something significant. I believe we were created by God to do something great. Now, it may not be great in the eyes of the world, or what other people may think is great. But each one of us, God's got a unique plan and something awesome for us to do. But you've got to want it. You've got to have desire for it. And I don't know. I'm not picking on anybody here. But I mean, I guess what I'm seeing in the church today is that desire has... Where is that desire? It's been so watered down. I think, again, I don't know all the reasons. I know the enemy's involved. You know, and I love the Empower 2012 week, the people that were involved in that, because to see young people and people that are going out in the streets of our city, the city that Jesus died for, people that he died for, and to see them out sharing the gospel and getting excited. And some of the people that go out, I've never seen them that excited. Why is it? Because we're giving life. We're making a difference. Someone's going from hell to heaven. Someone's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Someone that was sick and broken down, now they're healed. It's hard. This life in this world is hard. And I know all of us are going through all our different things. But I just want to encourage you today, have a passion for the things of God. Have a passion for the plan of God. I can't do that for you. Only you. I mean, to create that desire in you and to say that God's got to not be afraid of what he has for you. He's not going to take from you. He's only going to add to you. And instead of the world influencing us, we should be influencing the world. I'm not saying we have to go around condemning everybody on our jobs, but by the way we live and the way we care about people and the way we perform, we should ought to be the best workers. We should have the best attitude. We should be the people doing over and above. Well, you don't understand the boss that I have. Well, who's your boss? I don't know who you work for. I work for Jesus. And so the way I conduct myself is different than everyone. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but the way I do work is different than other people. And then not only do I do it, but I show up on time and I have a good attitude. I mean, Paul was in prison and he's writing about joy. It looks to me like everybody here is free. Out of prison. But we don't even have anywhere near the joy that Paul had. Why? Because he knew Jesus. To know him. And to know him intimately. And see, when you know him and you read his word and you get to know him, you start getting his heart and you start seeing what God wants to do in the world. And you start seeing what God wants to do in this city. And then you actually start caring. You start caring and you start praying about your neighborhoods. You start praying about your family. And then you start actually, you know, wanting to be trained. Not relying on everybody else to know how to give life. But you're actually open to it. And we're going to make mistakes. But you say, okay, I'm going to get trained. I'm going to get skilled in getting people saved. I'm going to get skilled in getting people healed. I'm going to get, you know, it's my responsibility. It's not just the pastors and just the leaders and those that go on outreach. It's my responsibility to be trained and to be a laborer. And to say, hey, I'm going to make a difference in my world. And Tori, I'm sure you were nervous about going back to your family, all the things you've been told, you know. But I was just so glad you did that. And you've gotten family members saved and then also baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think what's happening is there's a whole lot of people out there. They're waiting on someone to talk to them, but we're too afraid to. If we talk to them about the Holy Spirit, we've been all been said all these things and, you know, how weird it is and all these different things. And so we back off from these things. But what I'm praying for the people of Good News Church is that we'll be bold. I'm praying for the people of Good News Church that we'll be different. I'm praying for the people of Good News Church that we'll be believers. And I'm sorry the things you've been through, but I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. So I guess what I'm just asking you today, and I can't do anything in my words. And the Holy Spirit is the only one. I mean, you got to be open to the Holy Spirit. What I'm asking people today is to kind of look and search their hearts. And where are you today? Have you just been so beaten down with life? Have you given up? Do you feel like you don't have a plan, any kind of hope, any kind of future? Do you kind of just feel dead and dull? You've got to make a decision in your heart to turn towards God. You've got to do that. I can't do that for you. You've got to do that. But you know what I've decided to do? Because, you know, as leaders, a lot of us can get frustrated about who's not there. I just decided I'm going to go on. And if someone I love and care for is not there, I mean, I'm sorry about it and I hate it. And I'll do everything I can to love and minister to them. But, you know, I'm just going to go on. Because that's the best thing I can do for them. So I would just say, you know, to leaders of Good News Church, you know, just go on. Take care of the ones that are there. There's a whole bunch of ones that are there. And maybe those they'll come on, but you've got to go on. You can't preach your messages for people that aren't there. You can't preach your messages for people that year after year have proven they're not going to go with you. But yet we spend all this time trying to reach them. Why don't we mentor and impart to the ones that are there that are wanting to learn and to grow? I think that would be the more fruitful way. Now, we love everybody, and I'll go after the lost and all that. But I just, some people, they're just stubborn. They're going to do their own thing, and that's fine. Love them. But just go on. Go on. Keep following God. So we're going to take this last few minutes of the service, turn over to Luke 22, verse 39. We're going to pray a prayer of consecration today. And it's a prayer, these are prayers I pray all the time. I mean, I may even do it several, 2, 3, 4, 5 days in a row. I mean, it's just not every once in a while. I mean, constantly. These are things I'm praying. But Luke 22, verse 39, Amplified, says this. And he came out and went, and as his habit, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not all enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Don't you feel that sometimes? You ever feel that? Remove this cup from me? Yet, not my will, yet not my will, but always yours be done. Aren't you glad we had a Savior like that? Aren't you glad he was the guy that finished the race and went to the cross and died for us and went through all that for us? Aren't you glad that he had passion? Aren't you glad that he had desire? Aren't you glad that he was one of those guys that wanted to do the plan for his life? He's our example. And I like what the Message translation says, not what I want, what do you want? Not what I want, but what do you want? So let's just take a moment, and you say, and if this means nothing, that's fine. No condemnation here today. But let's just take a moment and just kind of search your heart, and you may not have never done this before, But just kind of open your heart to God and begin to talk to Him and say, you know, Lord, I want to please You. Lord, I want to do Your will. I want Your plan. And begin to open your heart to the Spirit of God. And He'll begin to show it to you. And if you made some mistakes, hey, forget those things. They're behind us. We're pressing towards the mark of the high calling. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. We give You praise and we give You thanks. And as the leader here at Good News Church, one of the leaders here, I just come before You today, Father, and just say, for as far as this ministry, not my will be done, but Your will be done. Lord, we just open our hearts and to this leadership here and leadership team here, open our hearts to Your plan during this season of one. We want to hear from heaven. We want to hear from You. We want to get it right. We want the foundation to be right and for this church to build to be right. And our labor not in be in vain. So I thank You by the Spirit of God, You're showing us things and revealing things to us. And Lord, that we'll have the boldness to carry it out and to be obedient. And Lord, I just pray for the people here today. Father, I pray for those that are cold. I pray for those that are lukewarm. I pray that they may be open to You, that their eyes of their heart may be enlightened, that they may know the hope of their inheritance and the hope of Your calling that You have for their lives, that You have an awesome plan. Lord, that they may be open to You. Even right now, Spirit of God, speak to them. And for all of us, Father, we say, not my will. Not what I want, Father, but what do You want? What do You want for our lives? Our steps are ordered by You. We thank You for the plan that You have, Father. We want to know the plan. Show us more of the plan. Reveal more of the plan. And Lord, I thank You that You provide and all the different things for the plan to come to pass. But we're not fair weather Christians. We're committed to You and to Your plan. And Lord, we open ourselves to Your plan in this city and even the plan in the world, that we'll be a part of the Great Commission. That we'll get excited about people getting saved and excited about disciples being made. Lord, I pray that this would be a church where Your love and Your presence and Your power would rest mightily. When the people come in here, Father, where they're lost or hurting, the needs that we met and met through the people of Good News Church. Lord, I pray that the mission of Good News Church would come to pass in a greater way, empowering people to give life. Show us, teach us how to empower people in a greater way. Lord, this be a life-giving church, and the members of Good News Church be life-givers in their world, that they make a difference, they impact their worlds for Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would lay aside our differences with each other and offense and strife and let those things go, Father, and come into unity and one accord. Come together for the cause. Come together for a higher purpose. Lord, we're already halfway through this year, but I know that You've saved the best for the last part of this year. We thank You for astonishing signs and wonders and miracles in every area of our lives. But Lord, more than that, just opening up our eyes to see things like You see them. We thank You for it. We give You praise. We give You glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Lord, help us to be patient with people. Patience. Thank You, Lord. We're patient. in the name of Jesus. Lord, let that compassion rise up on the inside of us for the people of Good News Church and for our families and our friends. Let that compassion guide us. We thank you. We praise you. Jesus' name. You may stand.
Hallelujah. As we were praying there, I was just seeing that in the world, for example, in a few days, the eyes of the world are going to turn to London. And there are people that have been training for their lifetime. They've been training, working diligently up early every morning. Working when other people are playing, when other people are doing other things. They've been working and training because they want to stand in the center of that three-tiered stand. And they want someone to hang a gold medal around their neck and play their national anthem. Because they want the world to focus on them for that moment when they win the Olympic gold. And I think about every year, every spring here in Augusta, how they vie and they battle it out to get a green jacket so they can stand there and have that trophy and somebody put that jacket on their back. Or I think about all the things that people go through, the Academy Awards or whatever it is that people, they work and they labor and they lay aside other things so they can strive for this one thing so the world's attention can be turned on them and they can get this award. But do you know there's an awards day coming that we won't even remember the Olympics. We won't even remember the Academy Awards. We won't remember who was president. We won't remember who had what car or what kind of house did you... None of it will matter one iota, one bit. There's only one award that anyone will want. And it far supersedes every other desire, every other award, and that is to have him to look at you and for him to say, well done. That's the deal. That is the highest and the best award. That beats every Super Bowl ring. That beats every other award, every other accolade, anything that anyone could ever offer. Above all, to hear well done. And that's available for every one of us here today. The opportunity to hear him say, well done. But he doesn't say that to everybody. He says it to those that have done well, those that have forsaken those things that are behind, those that have pressed on. And that's a very personal choice. And it's not a choice that, you know, anyone can make for you. I know as a parent, probably the greatest desire of a parent's heart is that your kids would choose to follow God's pathway. But even as a parent, I've discovered I can't make them choose that. I can't make Matt follow God. I can just choose for me. So I'm going to choose for me. Since I'm the only one I can choose for, I'm going to choose for me. Because that's what it's about. That supersedes any other desire, anything else you could ever want. And in this world has a way of making you feel insignificant. This world doesn't celebrate the things of God. It doesn't celebrate success the way God does. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner repenting. But the world doesn't even notice. In fact, if you share with your Christian friends that you've prayed with somebody to be saved, they'll go, oh, that's good. Did you see so-and-so? Did you hear about this other thing over here? Blah, 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 blah. I've been with plenty of ministers that care more about the watch on their wrist than they do about people getting saved. And that's the preachers. What must the people be like? But there is one thing to pursue. One thing. And you know, I feel like there's some people here today, you feel like, well, I've had so much disappointment. So many hard things have happened to me. I've been in such a rut. I've had so many setbacks. I've just given up on all that. But I'm going to tell you today, I don't care. You may have lost your mate. I know there are a couple of people in here, you've lost your mate in the last few months. I'm going to tell you, God's still got a plan for you. How do you know if God's got a plan for you? Are you breathing? Is your heart beating? Then God's got a plan. And it's a good plan. God wants to use you. Because if you're still here, there could only be one purpose for you still being here. Is God wants to use you. God wants to work through you. God wants to reach out through you. God wants to heal and minister and save through you. God wants to bring glory to himself through you. If you're still breathing, if your heart's still beating, guess what? God's still got a plan for you. And you might think, well, the plan I had always was with this person, and the plan that I had involved all this. Who cares? God's got a plan. God, give us the new plan. Show us the way. Father, I pray for every person here, that everyone here who needs a fresh plan today, who needs fresh vision. In Jesus' name, fresh vision come. A new plan come. A new revelation, a new insight, a new way of seeing, a new way, Father, a new plan today in Jesus' name. May they be encouraged from the inside. Strengthened with your mighty power. Hallelujah. It may not have worked out the way they thought it would, but big whoopee, you still got a plan. You're still God. You're still leading us, and we're still following you. Hallelujah. I thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. We thank you for it today. We thank you for the good plans. We thank you for your rich plans. We thank you for your generosity towards us in using us and working in us and working through us. Oh, you're so good and so great. What an awesome and mighty plan you have for us. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.